Good evening, everyone. Once again, it is Wednesday night and it's 7 o'clock. And in this particular Wednesday night and this particular 7 o'clock, we have the opportunity to penetrate into the American Book of the Dead guidebook by E.J. Gold. What we're doing is we're pausing. We're pausing together to just stop, as they say, stop and smell the flowers, right?
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're doing. We're slowing down and we're smelling the flower bouquet that is offered to us in these books that are presented by E.J. Gold in his guidebook. And we've made our way to book 11, Pat.
Mm.
We're on book 11 now. We've had some remarkable journeys. In the first part, we did some extensive, deep study, and we did really strong study. And this one is called the 11th Book of the Dead, called the Book of Ul-Gahar. And as you know, I've indicated over the past weeks and stuff like that, there's a myriad of different spellings and so on and so forth when there's the translation into English, and this is not first written in the English language.
For those of you that are looking at your text or you're listening to this, in this book it is spelled capital U-L apostrophe Q A H A A R Ul-Gahar.
And it's often also spelled, the heading is often A L.
Correct.
Al. And then the name of the particular specific name of Allah that is presented. And this one is spelled G A H H-A-R sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And so it has that sound of Gahar. And but that's immaterial to us. But it's important to note that if you're touched by something along these lines, you're going to do your own exploration, and you'll find that it's the same concept, slightly different words.
Now I'm going to interrupt and place a different piece of this book at the beginning of tonight's segment so that we have a reference that we can refer to as we go along. From the 17th Sunday sermon, the memory of a spiritually awakened being is very different and works differently than that of the average human being. In ordinary consciousness, you may be aware of your body without having to place your attention specifically upon it. You do not even need to remember all the time that you have a body by placing your awareness and attention constantly upon it, because your consciousness is awake throughout the entire body. And so it is with spiritual consciousness. It is awake throughout the entire creation.
So I have no idea why Pat chose to read that tonight. And there is no idea why she chose to read that. She just read it. And it's something that we just accept that's the next part of it. But it is so remarkably in line with where I went in terms of studying this particular book. I can't tell you how bang on it is. We don't rehearse these things, by the way. but I've never seen her before.
I have to say I'm not surprised, because in this chamber, what needs to occur does. So that doesn't surprise me. But I am surprised to hear you say it, because that's always kind of...
And the other way to say it is that whatever occurs in the chamber is what needs to occur.
Yeah.
So... So let's penetrate the book just a little bit, and it's a very short one, shorter than a lot of these have 30 to 40 verses or
mm-hmm.
stanzas
mm-hmm.
or whatever you want to call
mm-hmm.
it, and in this particular one it's quite short. But I want to focus on, as usual, this is bifurcated into two different sections and
mm-hmm.
two different conversations. One is what I call the opportunity to discuss this attribute, this particular holy name of God. And then we once again swing into the more traditional in our teachings of how the Voyager works.
Mm-hmm.
But Pat, why don't you read just the first part of the first stanza then?
The 11th Book of the Dead, called the Book of Ul-Kahar 1. I am he who dominates by overwhelming and eliminating my powerful enemies.
Okay. Now, we're going to do something here. Dan, is there anybody online at all? 12. Okay. Is Laura there? Law 34, good. Okay. Now, Pat, we're going to do something. Now, I want you to read that to me.
I'd be delighted.
As if I am taking this reading. Okay?
Yes.
And then we'll see. Okay, I'm going to move my mic away for just a moment. So I can turn to Pat. Okay, go ahead.
This reading is addressed to the being of David. One. I am he who dominates by overwhelming and eliminating my powerful. Everything in existence is subject to my domination and power, and becomes utterly helpless in my grasp. First one for the being of David.
May I read that verse to you?
Yes, please.
Okay. This reading is addressed to the being. I am he who dominates by overwhelming and eliminating my powerful enemy. Everything in existence is subject to my domination and power, and becomes utterly helpless in my grasp. This concludes this reading in verse 1. So what was it like to read and then be read to? Would you like to share that?
Yes. That was certainly different. It was so completely different, both sides. The delivery as the reader, I was actively participating with the resonance with you. And as the recipient, as the voyager, I understood. I had cognition. I understood.
Okay.
Oh, with my mic.
No.
We'll hold. Yeah.
But that's, can you hear us?
She's replacing it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Perfect timing, you two. Hey, yeah, Jana.
Oh, you carried over the other one. I didn't see.
We're having technical difficulties in transmitting the material right now. And note very carefully that in the midst of that technical difficulty, we have a solution.
This will be a test for the new cable. Is this a good test? Thank you.
Are we still okay then to continue?
Yeah.
Okay. So just note the dynamic that occurred. We had an issue, and within the space, we were able to solve it, right? And now we're back on. Are you okay by getting back
good.
To where you were?
Very good.
All right.
I was saying that my experience as the reader was one of observing and sensing the perception as it occurred for David. When I was read to, my experience was of understanding, of cognition, like a completely different universe, not the same at all as when I was delivering the instruction. How was it when you were taking those two parts?
Well, the description that Pat has given is precisely where I wanted to go with this exactly, because there's a part of me that did not want to be read to. I could feel a glimmer of fear as I was being read to, and because I didn't want to hear the phrase, the first sentence,
mm-hmm.
with it says, I am he who dominates by overwhelming and eliminating my power. I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to believe. So because it wasn't a matter of belief, it was a matter of being impacted by the space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then when I was asked to, when I read to you, I had a different fear that I didn't want to do, which was to stand in the place of him who can say, I am he who dominates. And it's like I didn't want to be there either. So what we're talking about here, in a sense, and it's not critical that you read this particular one, but It's to know and understand how understanding operates.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so there's a couple of us on tonight, and I urge you to just seek out our fellow group members just for the experience of reading and being read to. And you begin to hear the voice of the guide. And it's hearing the voice of the guide that we have to, that we have the opportunity to make ourselves feel comfortable with, to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Familiarize ourselves, to be lucky, to be looking for it, to know that it's going to be there, and then we hear the voice.
And when we speak, we make an agreement that we will voice, we will be heard, we will voice what is written. And that is the first thing, is that you accept this book and this voice can have an impact, and the only thing that is required is your agreement. That's it. That's totally it. It is an amazing commitment that allows other doors to open if that agreement is made.
We have talked about, I've used the phrase, active surrender before. And like right now what I want to do at some day in the far, far distant future is sit in a space that's quiet and have Pat read the entire book to me, you know. But, and the reason I know that it's fundamentally, there's part of it that is frightening because of this thing I talked about becoming unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unhinged from the habitual operations of the human biological machine.
Exactly.
And I'm the voyager at that point. And she's directing me, and she's saying, the voyager is saying, okay, here's the space you're in, buddy. Hey, you know, you're in the space called I am he who dominates by overwhelming my powerful enemies. Okay, I'm in that space. Okay, can I ride this 20-foot wave on the North Beach of Hawaii? I don't know. But I'm practicing right now to do it. Right? So we're talking about methods of cognition here. How do we begin to know something? How do we, what does it mean to know something? And in our tradition, we're not talking about just linear knowledge. We're talking about being impacted by the emanations of the teachings.
And one further step. When you speak, rather than just read, you activate the resonance that is in the word. And I think all of us know that biblical line, in the beginning was the word.
Does anybody have a Bible out? Anybody online? Can someone grab a Bible and look? I think that's, isn't that?
John 1:1.
John 1:1, right?
Exactly. Thank you.
John 1:1. So let's read that exactly. If somebody can get a Bible out and type it in.
Type it in to the log or
it's not,
it.
It's George, if you don't have, if you have the ability to do it. Are you finding it? You're doing a search. Very easy. You read it and then say it into the mic. Read the whole first verse of that, of John.
John 1.
Read the King James Version, please. Got it?
Yes, please.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Wow.
Did I say there was another thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole thing, is that if we realize, and you can say to yourself, well, this is just some guy, right, that wrote this.
I don't know.
But it's if you give your consent, then you're able to penetrate. And that's what Pat's talking about. These are transformative words. If we're allowed, where do the words come from? That's where they come from. We just heard where they came from. That we begin in the beginning, the Word was with God, and right?
Yes.
So,
in the beginning was the Word.
Was the Word.
And the Word was
with God. So we have that opportunity in this technology that we're working with tonight to influence the electrical bodies that we are. Now, George, I don't know if you had a chance to read the email I wrote, but it was very, I don't know. I didn't expand in the way I needed to. I should have expanded. But here's the concept I was working with, is on the surface, and when you look at one of the sub-names of Al-Ghahar,
mm-hmm.
is the subduer. The subduer. I am
let's,
he who dominates
let's,
my enemies.
Let's put you down. Let's
okay.
subdue.
And so in Christian literature, and I assume in the Muslim literature as well, there's this concept of putting down and we speak about it in this book too,
yep.
about that putting the desires of the body aside and suppressing them, and all the great desert fathers that are discussed in the Philokalia, Theocles, and these guys that come that have written from their heart in this manner, they are all the aesthetics and all the religions, actually, the purgation of the flesh is what they call it. And it becomes a battle then between something and the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I become an enemy of myself. You know, like I'm against my ego. And you battling it and stuff like that. And then I started thinking more carefully about how EJ has presented something. I think if I was a better student, I would understand this better and be able to present it better to you. But I think he has presented a fundamental difference in the approach to spirituality that we see in HBM. And in HBM, what we're talking about, Pat, just kind of like, shove me if I'm rambling too much, okay? Or do something, throw that tea on me. But it's like, so we are the incredible thing that he brought out in addition to this material here is that we're two electrical bodies,
mm-hmm.
right? We're two electrical bodies. One is the human biological machine, which is very powerful, has a lot of energy, has a lot of power. But it is trained for existence on the planet and for,
survival,
that's it. It's trained to survive. That's all it's interested in. It's going to survive, and then it's going to make babies so more of it can survive. Okay?
That's a good description.
And it knows what to do, and it says, it's a little kid, and it looks at the parents, and it goes, how do I do this? And they go, well, you fight with each other. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're always trying to please your others. Okay. Whatever it is, you learn the technology of survival
mm-hmm.
from your peers.
Right.
And it becomes so strong, and it's a good thing to have, is how to survive, right?
And how to keep it going.
You got to keep the darn thing going, but it's so dominant that the essential self is quiet, and it's just focused and identified with this great power called the human biological machine. And every once in a while, the essential self gets a hint. It goes, oh, I remember, but then it goes back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember, goes back. Eventually, if the essential self or the new master comes to lead, then there's a change in the balance. Is that? And then the human biological machine then looks to serve the essential self. It changes. And then you get all that power in its transformative effect, and that's called the book, The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus. Is that cool?
That is way cool.
So I got that from this book. Okay.
Yeah, you got this from the
reading
11th
this
book
guy
of the dead.
Saying, I'm going to dominate my enemies. Well, I think what he's saying is that if the Word is in God, or the Word was with God, then isn't it going to win in the end anyway? Is there it's going to win in the end anyway? So practice being in your God self, because then
Say, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, listen, just quickly, I wanted to remind all of us that, you know, in practical work on self, EJ has the chapter, Struggle of the Sorcerers.
Yep.
And I'd just like to read the abstract summary of the chapter. Ordinarily, the war of the forces of darkness and of light just happens mechanically within the machine.
Hang on. Ordinarily, it happens mechanically in the machine.
That's right.
Thank you. Go ahead.
It is uncontrolled and wasted. We must find a way to organize it and make it profitable to our work. So that's the abstract, but I just want to read one other paragraph that defines this a little more specifically. A ballet of work can be staged if only we know the characteristics of its two powerful mutual antagonists. So as we go through the guidebook, we're learning about
the
characteristics of one of the antagonists, the Prince
that's
of Dark. The Prince of Darkness, who dwells in darkness and whose vision is fixated on the light representing the awakened forces of light, that's our, and the Prince of Light representing the sleeping forces of darkness. Although they both use the same methods and their armies are composed of exactly the same soldiers, when one or another becomes active, their minions are of two completely opposed characters. The attention of the followers of the Prince of Light is fixated on the objects of fascination, which are common to the sleeping state of the machine, and is violently opposed to the awakening influences of the followers of the Prince of Darkness. And so as we go through this guidebook, what we're trying to do is separate our mechanical human biological machine and personality from this, which we are learning about now. And then hopefully over time we're able to organize these two different armies and ally them in such a way we make a personal profit.
What chapter is that, George?
So it's chapter 6 in Practical Work on Self.
Practical Work on Self by E.J. Gold. It's worth the read.
And on verse 2, we have the precursor to that chapter, which is, by the way, called the Something of the Sorcerers.
Struggle of the Sorcerers.
Struggle of the Sorcerers, verse 2. And for humanity, one can say, that man's greatest enemy is himself, which is to say his own human nature, and it is an even greater enemy than Satan or Satan, for man's inner nature resides within him, but Satan only dominates the outer world. Three, and so when one dominates, as in Ul-Kafar, dominates his own material appetites and desires, he has conquered Satan. And when he has conquered his inner appetites, he has conquered himself. So the descriptive words of this particular formulation of one of the 99 names of God is domination, power, and conquering.
It's subduer in that last case. And
this would not be something we would ordinarily associate as a beneficial. It does. It sounds terrible. Yes, Molly Midway is giving us some clues here. It sounds terrible, and yet the descriptive quality of this is something to embrace. I don't know if we're going to get to this other thing over here because that's where it goes, but this is the descriptive quality. So for right now, if you've gotten these three verses and you've spoken them aloud, if not to another, at least to yourself, you have named something that is true about the quality of the 99 names of God.
Of this particular name of God. And I want to emphasize, underline something Pat said, speaking it aloud, okay? So even if you're doing it for yourself, don't read this as a book of academia.
No.
Read it out loud, and you get the vibratory sensation of doing that kind of reading.
Yeah.
All right? And you'll vibrate with it, and you go, and then somewhere in that being of yours, you're going to go, ah, I got it. Cool.
Yeah, because what Silverdale is describing, this discourse that takes place, is very instructional in the practical work on self. This text is 20 years before that, and it is the same lesson. I always get a thrill out of that, to know that the functionality of EJ's material is so vibrant that whatever form you pick it up in and take it on yourself, even if it's just a little, it has this reverberation that goes on through time.
Okay, so that, what we've just said here is it's a workshop. It's 7 or 8 hours of unfoldment, if that's what we were going to get into. This is a process, the idea of that we are two different electrical bodies housed in one envelope, one being that comes forth, and only by I am he who dominates can you begin to uncouple and find the new master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all we're talking about. We're not talking about beating up on something, because usually when you read something like that, I am he who dominates the powerful enemies, that's like a big hero movie, isn't it? You know, like this big hero guy, and you know, ba 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 ba. So what we're talking about here is a change in our inner attitudes, and it can happen with a sense of gradualism, but it's worth the stretch. It's worth the stretch, and you got to do the work on your own. But thank you so much for that Struggle of the Sorcerers. I'm going to reference it on Sunday, too.
That's a perfect.
Thank you. Really good find. But I'd like us to go ahead and continue to this short book because now we're going to flip and go ahead, Pat.
Directing it to you or in general?
No, in general.
4. Thus begins the book of instructions for the 8th day of the intermediate or second stage of transit.
Let me ask you to pause for a minute. I got so hung up on that verse the other day when I was reading it, because it starts, thus.
Yes, I love it. Thus begins.
And I went, oh, my God. So it's like those first 3 paragraphs or verses are, here's who you are, brother.
Parenthetical.
Thus, here's mm-hmm. where you are. And it's like in the Bible, some of these phrases that says, like, wait on the Lord, or it goes, now cometh the Lord, and things like that. And I read that in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
Thus.
Yeah, immediacy.
So, but it's a conclusion. You read this, you got it, right? Of course you did. Thus.
Thus, yes. It's like, here are the directions and instructions to the unfolding of the atom, and.
That's right.
We go forward. Okay.
Thank you.
5. And on this day, the first of the violent guides shall appear within the guide who is before you now. And you shall hear him muttering, Allah, Allah, and with a piercing whistle sound, and his hair shall emit red and yellow radiation. And he is only a primal form of consciousness. And the moment you recognize this, you will be liberated by merging with this primal form of consciousness. And so the kingdom shall be entered.
You want to go ahead or do you want to pause?
I'm all for pausing.
Okay. So let's read that again and let's dissect it just a teeny bit, okay?
6. And the moment you recognize this, and I'll preface this for you, on this day the first of the violent guides shall appear within the guide who is before you. And you shall hear him muttering. And along with a piercing whistle sound, and his hair shall emit radiation. And he is only a primal form of consciousness. And the moment you recognize this, you will be liberated by merging with this primal form of consciousness. And so
I want to read the rest of it too.
Yeah.
But when you realize that it's the primal form of it's just a primal form of consciousness, and you can merge with that concept, then you're freed from the burdens of judgment. Judgments, it's a comfortable place to go to judge each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to blame ourselves and judge ourselves and stuff like that. And I say, so what? So what? That's the only technique we know of freeing ourselves from what we see as to be these earthly
mm-hmm.
prisons that we're in.
Right.
But if we have other techniques, like read the last sentence of 5, or the last phrase of 5.
And he is only a primal form of consciousness.
Because my sins are different than yours.
And He is only a primal form of consciousness.
That's my point. And if we can see that, then you start going, oh, okay.
No matter what I think I see, the king is always naked.
So we can begin to free ourselves if we accept, okay, that's who I am. Now what? And I've got some great friends around me. I'm just so blessed with friendship that, and some of them get hung up on their weaknesses, and I'm just blown away by the bright light that they are, you know, and I'm just so moved by my friends in that way.
Seven.
It disagrees.
But do not speak with him. He has no consciousness in himself. The guides of this stage of transit are implacable, and they speak no thoughts, and he shall mimic you in act and thought and in speech. This is a huge lesson here. It's a huge lesson that when you think that you are encountering something, if you can recognize that it's only a form of consciousness, not consciousness itself, and if you speak to it, it will not be responding. It will only give you back what you gave.
It's going to do more of what it does because it's implacable. It doesn't have the generosity of creativity. It's just as it is, period. Now contrast that with the first stanza of the first verse, I am he who dominates.
What?
And then there's this other stuff happening, this implacability of the way that the mechanicality operates. Of course that's how it operates, because that's what it does. So if you face your mechanicality on its own terms,
right,
what do you... That's what it's talking about.
That's exactly what
if
you see.
If you fight it as it is, it won.
It will give you back exactly what you give. Nothing more. It mimics you entirely.
But if we see it as another form of primal consciousness, something different can happen. Now read the last verse, please.
Eight. And he is the mirror of yourself in the timeless void of infinite eternity.
I mean, talk about hitting a home run with that last one. So,
like I always say, if you take the last verse first, read it in reverse from 8 back to 1. That is a form of the mirror, and that is a form of re-entering the chamber without your preconceived notions about what things are what. Would you like to hear it that way?
No, not at the moment. But I want it because I want to say a couple of things about the mirror.
Yes.
The idea of this is simply a mirror. These forms of consciousness that come, it's a mirror of what we're projecting.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can see that as a just another form of primal consciousness, it is being projected by us. But then you can say something else that we find in the literature here. It's called, and I am not that.
Mm-hmm.
I am not that. And that's what I mean by beginning the shades of freedom and breaking yourself from being identified with that which you judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm the guy that made this mistake. And that's how you live your life. I did this. That's all you are, then that is all you will become. But you just say, yes, I did do that. And to clearly, but it's not simple. It's not a trick. You go, oh, that's not me. You have to actually get there.
Well, I believe that the word confession has within it a certain aspect of the attitude that is required, which is, I am not saying I am guilty or I am to blame or taking on shame or whatever. A confession is a statement from the objective point of view that in relation to the essential self, the activity that just took place, yes, I own that, I did that. Not to claim that you have therefore unfolded yourself. A confession is simply a statement that mirror is in front of me. I see what I have done. Here it is. Mirror is in front of me. It's flat. There's no ripples on it. It is not smudged. It is clear. It is flat. The mirror speaks back only what is in front of it, not anything else.
Well, you know, I have a particular mental impression of myself.
Yeah. I have one of myself, too.
That I look a certain way, that I present a certain way, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I look in the mirror, and I go, oh.
Yeah, it doesn't really come across the same way as you thought.
Oh.
Oops.
And after I look in the mirror, and I look, and then someone accepts me anyway, I go, what are they doing? So find the mirrors that work for you, and this, what Gahar is presenting to us is the opportunity to of this confessional, the mirror, but acknowledging it and seeing that it is just another form of primal consciousness, and therefore you can begin to free yourself. Isn't that something?
Definitely.
What do you got over there, Dan? Quiet, yeah.
Quiet. Oh, isn't that nice?
Interesting.
I would like to leap from verse 8.
Okay.
And he is the mirror of yourself in the timeless void of infinite eternity. To verse 1 of book 1. Actually,
good.
It's verse 0.
That's right.
Of book 1. These are the words which the living guides spoke to me, and I have written them down in the language of men. We're just revisiting something here for a moment that we were at, 57 weeks ago?
40-some.
And if you think of how we are using the vocabulary we are starting to develop with each other, our understanding of the use of the word or voice or hear or see. You see, this text has been written down in the language of men. It was written in a vocabulary of the HBM, but not for the benefit of the HBM. Interesting,
right.
Huh?
Right, that was the duty.
Yeah.
And he took it on knowing that he's speaking to the HBM.
Right.
And that is cured when you do something like read to each other and to allow yourself to be read to. You can't remain in mechanicality if you sincerely allow yourself to be read to and you're in this active surrender. So if anybody doesn't have anybody to read to them or for you to read to, you can send an email to me or Pat, and we're available to do that.
Yeah. We can locate someone for you also. You know, the other part about this particular book, for me, just going back to where we were, Thank you. We've got the call. Okay. Okay. Well, Shively Dale.
What's that?
Is your broadcast down?
You know, my broadcast has been down for maybe the last 3 minutes or so, and I just refreshed it, and it still appears to be down.
It is down, and she's rebooting now.
Yeah, great.
It's coming up and going down and coming up and going down.
That happens. You know, we're having electrical disturbances in this particular event. It's being recorded here in the audio, but people aren't hearing this necessarily.
Well, if it's being recorded and it's electrical, then we can count on something happening.
That part is stable. The additional broadcast then is what's...
You know, and by the way, I can imagine that mine says broadcast ended at the moment, so it's not possible to send out a text in the chat box saying, you know, we're rebooting or something like that.
Got it.
And Marvette's letting us know that she has rebooted, so it should come up pretty soon. I don't know what the time lag might be.
Well, the chat box is back up now, that's for sure. Oh, you're back on the air.
Great.
Okay. Thank you, Silverdale. Yeah. Thank you,
everyone.
Curious circumstance. So,
by the way, could I just share something?
Yeah.
From what Gurdjieff wrote, because it has such a direct application to what we are going through right now. As we study this guidebook, this is from Gurdjieff's, you know, Beelzebub's Tales, and he's describing his approach to writing. So just quoting, before going on with this first chapter, which serves as an introduction to all that I plan to write, I wish to inform... This becomes important because this is exactly the same technique that E.J. seems to be using in his writings. I wish to inform your so-called pure waking consciousness of the fact that, in the chapters following, I shall expound my thoughts intentionally in such a sequence and with such logical confrontation that the essence of certain real ideas may pass automatically from this waking consciousness, which most people in their ignorance mistake for the real consciousness, but which I affirm and experimentally prove is the fictitious one, into what you call the subconscious, which, in my opinion, ought to be the real human consciousness, in order that these concepts may mechanically bring about by themselves that transformation which in general should proceed in the common presence of a man and give him by means of his own active mentation the results proper to a man and not merely as a one or two brained animal. So the point of that, as I understand it, is as we go through this guidebook and discuss these very real ideas, they gradually pass from our waking consciousness into our subconscious, that is, our essence, and then automatically transform us so that actually our essence is fed and it grows, and then gradually we begin to not only understand but to see that we're actually the luminous light. I really appreciate, Pat, your mentioning that chapter, that 17th sermon. I went back and reviewed it as well, and it speaks to this point.
And I agree with you, Silver Dell, that it is exactly in the same style. In fact, E.J. says in verse 1 of that first book that I just quoted from, and I have borne the testimony of the Lord, and all that I saw and heard have I written down. And he that reads these books is blessed. by the words of this instruction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again,
hearing.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just you hear it, and there is in its
a resonance.
In its essence, resonance.
Right.
Yes, it passes through to you.
And you wonder why these Tibetan monks and these Christian ascetics, they pray over and over and over again in these hermetic monasteries where they're in full silence except for prayer.
Mm-hmm. Day and night.
And, you know, I hear that there's some of these monastic work is simply to pray, to get the prayer out there into the universe. And we talk about, you know, like prayer wheels that we have. And so subject yourself to this. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Subject yourself to this. It's not easy to read this stuff. This is not entertainment. It's a little hard. But it's worth the stretch. Okay?
Now can I do it in reverse?
All right.
The 11th book of the dead, called the book of Ulkahar, read in reverse. 8. And he is the mirror of yourself in the timeless void of infinite eternity. 7. But do not speak with him. He has no consciousness in himself. The guides of this stage of transit are implacable, and they speak no thoughts. And he shall mimic you in act and thought and in speech. 6. And the moment you recognize this, you will be liberated by merging with this primal form of consciousness. So the kingdom shall be entered. 5. And on this day, the first of the violent guides shall appear within the guide who is before you now. And you shall hear him muttering, Allah, Allah, and hum, hum, along with a piercing whistle sound. And his hair shall emit red and yellow radiations. And he is only a primal form of consciousness. 4. Thus begins the book of instructions for the 8th day of the intermediate or second stage of transit. 3. And so, when one dominates his own material appetites and desires, he has conquered Satan. And when he has conquered his inner appetites, he has conquered himself. 2. And for humanity, one can say that man's greatest enemy is himself, which is to say his own human nature. And it is an even greater enemy than Satan, for man's inner nature resides within him, but Satan only dominates the outer world. 1. I am he who dominates by overwhelming and eliminating my powerful enemies. Everything in existence is subject to my domination and power and becomes utterly helpless in my grasp. That completes this reading of the 11th Book of the Dead, called the Book of Ul Kahar, for the benefit of all beings everywhere.
Thank you, Pat, for doing that.
And Nepal says, one thing that I love about verse 2 is that when one goes about the recognition of the primal forms of consciousness inside, the struggle with Satan stops.
That's great.
Thank you.
So, there you go. And we'll take it up again next week. Wednesday, it'll be a whole other chapter, believe me. And 7 o'clock Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and attending. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Dave and Pat, for hosting us.